I hope you have mine put aside.
OK.
Wally.
Yashim? Please take your chair. We will start immediately. Okay, good morning for the remote participants. Good afternoon, good evening, if you are not in the same time zone. This is the Capacity Building Working Group face-to-face meeting. And we have today only 50 minutes, unfortunately. We have the agenda. Can you display the agenda, please? Okay, you have the agenda on the screen. Do you agree with this agenda?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any comment on the agenda? No. Okay, thank you. The agenda is adopted. Our meeting today is to go through the topics that we intend to address this year as a capacity building working group for our community. And the second main topic on the agenda today is the use of I Can Learn for our capacity building webinars. And Betsy will be here in a moment, and she will present more or less how we will be using this platform in the future and what are the advantages of this platform for our work. So now we will go to the topic selection. We have received more than 40 proposal of topics. For your information, we made a first run of a survey, and we got a good number of topics, but we noticed that the newcomers or the non-experienced people didn't propose topics. So we ran another round of survey, and we told to our RALOs that this is especially for newcomers or for people who don't have a lot of experience. And we didn't receive much more topics, but now we have more than 40 topics. The list is on the screen on the right. I worked on this list with Heidi and Gisela, and we tried, because in this list there is a lot of duplication. We have a lot of times the same topic or topic similar. So I worked on it to make all topics similar on the same topic, and then I made a selection. Can you go to the other slide, please? I made a selection. You will see it, and it will be according to the activities in ICANN and according to the number of times the topic was chosen. So, we already had a webinar, because we couldn't meet before. We had a webinar about the protection, the data protection, and an introduction to GDPR, and it was done by Chuck and Thomas. Now I propose the following topics: new GTLD application, fees, community application, support for applications, etc. And those are WT1 and WT3. And I proposed as a speaker Robin Gross and Sarah Bouquet.
Bouquet?
Okay. Another topic, which is the new GTLD also, geographic names, work team 5, and I proposed Cheryl and Javier as speakers. The fourth one is compliance of the WHOIS registration data with GDPR. This is another time. We had a first time presentation of the GDPR, it was an initiation, more or less. Now we have had a lot of discussion about it, and we have the interim model. So we will try to make it more friendly with our community, and we will have this webinar. And I propose Teresa and Thomas. The fifth one is the protection of global public interest and contractual compliance and consumer rights. And Olivier, Maggie, and Brian are proposed. KSK rollover. We will not have only one, we will have two. One, it must be the next month, I think, and the other just before the rollover will happen, if it will happen. So it will be before October. Seven, at-large review, and this will not be done except if we have a better view, and otherwise we will not do it. Number eight is ICANN jurisdiction. You will say we spoke about that, we did that before, yes, but it is still requested, and people ask for it. So I think we will make another webinar about jurisdiction, and Tatiana will be the speaker. Number nine, universal acceptance. This is something that we don't work on a lot, and I think at large is absent. We have a working group on that, and at large is absent. So it will be. It was requested, one of the topics that people requested. So we will have a webinar on that, and I propose Edmond Chung as a speaker. Perhaps we will add another one from the staff. Moment, please. When I finish, please. Okay. Number 11, awareness of DNSSEC. I propose Patrick. At first we thought about Julie, but Julie is, last time I asked her, she proposed another one. So this time I put Patrick. Number 12, CCTLD. A lot of aspects of CCTLD, such as assigning the country code, the delegation and the retirement of CCTLDs, and those are topics that are asked by our community. So we will make a webinar on that, and Katrina will be the speaker. Number 13, policy comments, Alan and Mary Young. And the last one, number 14, is ALAC and RALO, hot topics, why should end users care. This will be done by Alan and the RALO chairs. This topic was supposed to be done on February, but our RALO chairs said that they don't know how they will do it. They wasn't clear about it, so we postponed it, and now we will work with them so that everything will be clear, and we will make this webinar. You will notice that we have 14 topics, while normally we will have nine only. Why nine? Because we have 12 months, and we avoid July and August and December. So normally nine webinars. We have 14 because we think that we have to give more attention to our newcomers or less experienced people. And four topics will be done in between the normal webinars. And they will be, not especially, but they will be more dedicated to newcomers or less experienced members of at large, which are awareness of about the NSSEC, CCTLD assigning country code, delegation and retirement of CCTLD, policy comments, and ALAC and RALO hot topics. So we have nine webinars, regular nine webinars, and four webinars for less experienced members. They are not restricted to those people, but they are mainly done for them, for the less experienced people. Any comment on this list? Hadia.
Hajin Minyawi, for the record. I was going to comment on the universal acceptance topic. The Domain Name System Entrepreneurship Center, the center that I'm actually leading, we are now actually coordinating this universal acceptance in Egypt. And I was wondering if I could share speak on that topic with regard to that topic during the webinar. Thank you.
Okay, we have only one speaker, so you will be the second one.
Thank you.
Alfredo?
Yes, do we have a preliminary schedule for the webinars? Or?
Yes, the dates, I will work with Gisela to have the schedule, because we try to make our webinars the same day so that people know what is the day of the webinar. And second, we alternate the timing so that the pain will be shared.
Yes, please.
You understand? So this is why we don't have here the timing and the schedule. Gisela.
Thank you to Gianni Gisela for the transcript. We have already predefined the dates, which we've put on the capacity building working group portal. However, the times are TBC because it does depend on the speakers, just on which region they're in, to be able to accommodate them as well with their availability. But we do try and aim for a 1300 and 2100 UTC just to share the pain and for the various regions to be able to participate. Thank you.
Yes, Gisela is speaking about the slots, but we didn't assign a topic for each slot. And this will be done after this meeting. Yes, please, go ahead.
Yes, an additional comment. I'm guessing that for the newcomers or the less educated people, those will be done before ICANN 62 or
along the year, okay. Between the regular webinars, we will insert one by one the four webinars for less experienced people. And we will try to make them relevant with the discussion.
Thank you.
Any other remark? Olivier? Sean?
This is shown for the record. Sorry, I didn't get what you were saying about the at-large review. It looks like there was a condition that you attached to it.
Okay, let me tell you. You know that so far we don't have visibility. So we will not make a webinar about something that we don't know what is the result. That's why we try to wait till we have better visibility. Olivier.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. So the list that you're providing here, is this in order or is this just, it isn't in order? I was going to suggest that when it comes down to scheduling the list, it might be interesting to look at various calendars and see when the topic is most important. As we know, there are some deadlines in some of the external processes, and that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. What I said about the KSK rollover is relevant to all topics. We will try to make to do the webinars according to the relevance to the discussion, to the deadlines, etc. Cheryl.
Thank you, Tijani. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. Obviously, I'm going to be particularly keen to make sure we schedule the topics that relate to the subsequent procedures for new GTLDs in a timely fashion to best equip our community to have input into a reaction to the initial report. And we're planning on releasing our initial... Let me try that again. I do apologise, team. Speak slowly and try and actually get a word out. We will be hopefully releasing our report in April. So that would mean if we could front load that, it'll be a 40-day public comment. So perhaps if we can have the topics running in April, May, that would be best, just to try and get a spot in the calendar. Thank you, Tijan.
Cheryl, I have a better proposal for that. I in my mind, they will be the first webinars we will do. Why? Because I want our community to be involved in the working groups and to participate in the drafting, because the drafting didn't happen. And if they can come to the groups and participate in the draft, it will be very good. So probably the first two topics will be those of the subsequent procedures. Any other remark? Yes, Sarah.
Sarah Kiden, for the record, as we wait for the report, would you tell us how participation has been, especially from newcomers? Or how, are we getting many people or something?
I didn't understand your question.
How has the participation in these webinars been? What is the, how many people are attending?
Okay, we did several times this we gave this data, but this time we didn't do. It is almost the same number. We have almost the same participation. The participation goes from 9, 8. Till 2025, according to the subject, according to the time, according to the the availability of people, and according to the time of the webinar, because sometimes the topic is very interesting for a region, but unfortunately it is not the good time for this region, so you don't have a lot of participation. So this is the information. I am so sad that we don't have more, but unfortunately this is our community. And we spoke about that several times. We made a lot of our RALOs, RALO leader spoke about that also to their community, because we do that for them. And people, unfortunately, don't come. They are not always the same. Huh? I can say that we have almost everyone is participating, but not the same, not all the time. Cheryl.
Thank you, Tijani. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. I think, Sarah, the important piece of this puzzle is also what we're going to find out as we look into ICANN Learn, because there's an asynchrony, which is what Tijani was describing. It's not the same people on each of the webinars, and it is topic dependent as well as time dependent. And I've certainly seen 30, 37 in the room on I forget which of the occasions, but that's the thing. But to be able to get this now integrated into an ICANN Learn program does two things. It means that it's then available in a very professionalised way for people to utilise at any time, and we can track that's happening. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. I would add to that the use of ICANN Learn platform will be really beneficial for our community, because it will make the retrieval of the webinars very easy, and it is FEs you are attending it, except the interaction with the speaker, and that you can do it through an email that you send to the staff, and the staff will direct it to the right speaker. And second, we will have ebook. We will have them on ebook, so you can use it even offline. People who don't have connectivity every time, they can download it and then use it offline. So this will be, in my point of view, a very a real move, a real evolution of our work. Satish?
Thank you, Tijani. Satish for the record. I think in the RALOs, there is a transition from focusing on the primary, secondary contacts to the members of each RALO. So it opens up a new constituency, but also opens up new challenges on how we're going to address this group. And we understand that in most cases, some of the leaders of that ALS might have to disseminate in this information or meta-information on where you can find resources. So while this is excellent, we might also have to look at the next phase, which is how we can go beyond the ALS to the members of the each ALS. So I think some of these points you mentioned, for example, the e-book is actually quite good, but it would be nice to have a coordinated approach towards this group. Thank you.
Thank you, Satish. What you said is very important, but it is relevant to all activities we have. If we have the database of all the ALSs, you can disseminate everything to all the ALS members. And in this case, we will have a huge community members that can attend. So this is something that we have to work on, but not in the capacity building working group. It is something with the staff and with perhaps also ALAC should do something about it. Any other remark on the program? Okay. Betsy? Okay. Timely. She just arrived. So if there is no other comment on this, we will go to the second point of our agenda, second main point of our agenda, which is I Can Learn platform, and Betsy is here. Elizabeth is here. She will make a presentation about the I Can Learn platform and how we can use it, how we will use it for our webinars online and offline, and what are the other facilities that we can use on I Can Learn for our capacity building program. Betsy, you have the floor.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry I'm a bit late. I am simultaneously presenting to the GAC and to you. So this is an ICANN superpower that you're all familiar with. I appreciate your having me here today. Do we have a clicker or are you controlling that? Okay. I've put some animations in it, so I'll have to... I'm sorry. Okay, this is great. This is what we want.
Shall I use the PowerPoint or the PDF? I have the PDF.
Oh, let's just do the PDF. That's fine. Totally fine. That's easier, actually. Okay. So we have a new online platform for I Can Learn. Some of you will be very familiar with this. Some of you may be familiar with the previous platform that we used. It was not quite fit for purpose. So we've done a rejig, and we have the capacity to do more security, stability, and resiliency training online, as well as a better tool for organizing the administrative data behind using online learning that can help you to make decisions about the capacity development initiatives that you want to pursue. So you access it in the same place. It's at learn.icann.org. And let's go into the next slide, and I'll show you some elements of it. I'll just go through a couple of things like creating an account and how you enroll in courses, what your archival course looks like. We'll review how to change your language if that's something you'd like to do because it's a new element of the new platform that I'm really excited about. And then I'll show you where certificates and transcripts are held and can answer any questions that you may have. The login screen looks like this. It's the same place to sign up or as to log in. We had discussed previously the ongoing project within ICANN.org to create the single sign-on system, and you'll be delighted to hear that we built this in such a way that the two are compatible. So ultimately, when you're signing on in one place for ICANN, it will be the same thing for ICANN Learn. When you're signing up, this is what the form looks like. We can, if you would like, create an at-large group on the platform. And what that means is that you can have data that is specific to the group. So I'll show you the dashboard in a moment. You'll see there are banners at the top. These banners can scroll. And if you would like to have an at-large group on the platform, we can target the at-large members with information that's very specific to what at-large participants will be interested in. Also, polls and contests and news items can be specific to individual groups. And what this means is if you are in multiple groups, say, for example, you are at-large, you are on the board, and you are something else, you can be in three different groups and have access to all of those custom materials in your one login site. So that's pretty useful. Let's go ahead. This is what the dashboard looks like. You'll see a series of tiles. It's a much more user-friendly situation than what we were in before, but it doesn't look too dissimilar. So you'll be able to resume courses that you've begun. You'll be able to see courses that you're enrolled in, choose new courses from the catalog, or find them in the search bar at the top. Additional resources can be hosted there, like handouts and PDFs that you can download. One of the useful elements for your particular working group, look at that button right in the middle, the enrollment key tile. That is something that could be particularly of use to you, because what we can do is design some sort of learning plan. So let's say it's a learning path where you want members to take courses in a particular order. We can create a key for that. So you determine administratively what you want it to be. We give it a key. You give the key to your users. They go and enter it in. You just click on that tile. We can go to the next one. You click on that tile and, oh, I thought I had a different slide here. Anyway, you click on that tile and enter in a key, and then the system will do it for you. We have used this very successfully with the fellows in the Next Gen program to guide their learning and to put them in the places where it has been pre-selected that they would gain the most advantage from. So right now, with a limited amount of content on the platform, you'll find that most people want to go into the newcomer section and get the sort of introductory overviews. But get ready, because there's so much awesome content coming. Eventually, we're going to have a very robust catalog where there are a lot of sort of specialist courses that are doing deep dives into topics such that if a newcomer comes to I Can Learn, it may seem a little overwhelming. So one thing you may want to take responsible for when you are planning your capacity building is, how do we want to guide people who are coming into at large? What kind of overviews do we want to give them? And if you can assess the, you know, obviously I will help you and my team will help as well, but if you can assess the material that's on there and say, you know, these are the courses that are really relevant to our participants, we can create either a learning path with that enrollment key, or we can just automatically enroll them in courses, so it doesn't have to be in a particular order. And so what you can do is just streamline some of the administrative process. Gisela and Yassim and Evan don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. We can just set up the key so that it happens automatically. And it makes learning a lot more accessible to people. And in fact, we can reach a lot more people because it will take fewer resources to do so. So that was a little aside about an enrollment key, but you can tell how enthusiastic I am about that, because one of the goals of designing this new platform and trying to make it less expensive and more accessible is that we want to streamline some of these administrative processes, so you don't have to wait 2 weeks to get blah blah blah, you know, because it's there. We are working all out to make this automated as much as we can. So the most relevant tile on that dashboard screen you will see is this catalog tile, and I just wanted to flag it up for you because that's where you'll go to see all the courses. This is what the catalog list looks like. Notice the icons on the left-hand side. This is going to become more and more relevant. These are categories that we've developed that can be badges, like a game. And so this is somewhere that we're going in the next year. We have 8 categories. Currently, we have courses in 6 of them. And the blue one with the people that you see up there is our newcomer category. That's our newcomer badge. So that's the majority of the courses that we're hosting right now. On the screen, if you look at the upper right-hand side, you'll see a file folder that's sort of grayed out. And then you'll see an icon that has a list. It has sort of the dots and the lines on it. This is one area that is helpful to get a sort of heads up on. The list view is what you see right here, and the file folder view is the category view. When you first go in, it will be category view. I always change it to list view because I like to see everything that's there. But as we get more and more courses, the category view is obviously going to become more useful because you won't be able to capture it all in one screen. So when you click on enroll in a course, that green enroll button turns purple into a launch button. And when you click on launch, it will then take you to the course launch page. Let's go into the next slide. This is what a course launch page looks like. In fact, this is what your course launch page looks like. So you'll see at the very top, there's a description of the course that's held in the catalog, and then you'll see the tags below. If you want to change these tags, just let us know. We will take care of that. We took sort of the key highlights from the titles of the webinars. That's how we created these. Right now, the tags are all in English, but we do intend to tag in all the languages that we're posting content on. So you will find, if you look at the French webinars course, it will also have the English tags, but that's going to be changed. So if you look on the left-hand side of the screen, you'll see the newcomer badge logo, and under that, you will see progression. And this will help you with some of the longer courses because you'll be able to see at a glance how much you've achieved. This is something that the fellows were telling us was really useful because they could gauge how much time they needed to complete the materials that they needed to do before they could come to the meeting. And below that, I'll show you in a moment, but below that is a resources folder, and that's where we can put general things that pertain to your courses, such as handouts. So if you want to launch any of the large capacity building webinars below, you just click on that green launch button just as you would on the enroll or launch the course. So this is a list of all the webinars that we've archived. So since 2014, we've put them all on there. There are a couple of the more recent ones that need to be updated. We're going to get those video files working together with the secretariat team and have those up there for you. But you can choose these in any order. You don't have to pursue them in the certain order that they're given. And this archival course is a very effective way to store the things that you have, the materials that you've already created. But you don't have to stop here with putting the content up there. You can also incorporate assessments. You could edit the videos in some way, you know, to make them shorter and more streamlined. You could use portions of it. This is all really up to you in terms of how you want to use it. But right now, we just have it set up as an archive so that you can track how many users are taking the course, how many of the videos they're seeing, and also we could contact the learners who are signed up for this course through the iCanLearn platform. Excuse me, I went blank for a minute. Okay. Okay, so this is really important. On your dashboard, and you'll see behind that big yellow sign is the dashboard screen I showed you before. And you'll be able to access this on your phone or your tablet or your computer. At the very bottom, there's a globe. And next to that globe image is language. If you click on that, it will pull up the menu that's on the right-hand side there. And there are currently 29 languages. This is expanding. But there are 29 languages from which you can choose what you want your interface to be. So there are two different levels of language to bear in mind. One is the language in which the course is being taught. That's going to continue to be the six UN languages plus sometimes Portuguese. But the interface language, what's telling you how to get around on the platform and your transcript and to make things easier, you can choose the language you're most comfortable in. And we're very pleased that there are a lot more options, a lot more specific options. So that's something that you'll want to do the next time you log on to the platform. This is just showing you what the course launch page looks like in French for your at-large capacity building webinars and in Spanish. Okay, so on each course launch page, there's a discussion area where you can post comments, and we can turn it on or off that people can attach files. Probably you want to turn it off, but that's up to you. So in this discussion area, you can raise discussion topics and issues like we do with the NextGen. In this area, you can address specific feedback areas like, would you please tell us what additional topics you would like to pursue? Or are there any experts you would like for us to put you in touch with? And really, you can use this commenting and discussion area however you would like to suit your course. You can also track the comments yourself. You don't have to rely upon staff to do that. But I would say about comments that the behavioral policy applies to everything on iCanLearn as well. So if anybody gets a bit too strappy on there, they get cut off. So the course resources page, I was telling you about how you can upload things, but I just want to show you this is what the list looks like. So you can download any of those documents and you can choose what's, you know, what you want to put up there. Some examples include a frequently asked questions list or a list of links, or indeed, what you're seeing here on your course are the slide decks, that were included in the webinars. Finally, the moment everyone has been waiting for, this is what the certificate looks like. You will find in your community and in all communities, people are really excited to have their efforts validated and acknowledged. And this right here, Megan Healy, whom you may meet, is on our I Can Learn team. And this is her certificate for completing the At-Large Capacity Building Webinars course. And I would believe that she actually has watched every single one of them. So this is what it looks like. And once you have completed a course and earned a certificate, it will always be embedded on your course launch page, so it's easy for you to access. You can print it if you want to. In some cases, it's important for verification, so we have that in the system. For example, the next geners have to complete the course. Also, the registrar training is a part of our registrar certification process, so this is a very important element of certifying that someone has completed the course. Finally, back to the dashboard screen, you'll see the tile for transcript. This is so that you don't have to keep track of your separate certifications. This is one place where you can go and see a list of all the courses that you've completed. And we're envisioning that this could be useful for things like travel funding qualifications or applying for certain roles, or it could be relevant for fellows or for NextGen to be able to provide a transcript that we can verify of the courses that have been completed. And in this way, you can develop curriculum that is required or that can be used as a prerequisite for other in-person training opportunities. The enrollment key we've gone over, this is where it is. I'll show you what the box looks like right here. So where it says sign in enrollment key, that's where you would just type whatever you want to do. And one thing I was thinking of advising, if you're interested, is we can create an enrollment key that could put a user in each of the at-large capacity building webinars courses, so that when someone comes in and puts that enrollment key in, then in their My Courses list, they're already automatically enrolled in those three, and they just pop up. Or if you want to do individual ones for Spanish, English, and French, we can do that as well. In fact, as we roll out more multi-language content on the platform, you may want to consider having learning bundles or learning paths for users who are predominantly learning in different languages. However, while we're on the subject of languages, I want to reiterate that previously, you may recall, you had to log in multiple places to find course materials in different languages, which is such a palaver for someone who is learning in multiple languages. So say, you know, I can learn in French and English, but we don't have the exact same courses in French and English, so I'd have to go into French and I'd have to go into English. In this platform, we have designed it in such a way that the catalog's all in the same place. So we'll be able to group things, we'll be able to categorize things if you want to just see the French courses or Spanish or whatever once we get more content on there. But you'll be able to find absolutely everything in the same place with that one sign on. And I think that's something that your participants in particular are going to find as a big improvement on the last. So that's it for my presentation. I would like to encourage you to get in touch with us with your ideas. A lot of the amazing feedback that went into designing and developing this platform came from your group. So I thank you for that. Those who have come before, those who are here, and those who will be here, it's very important to get your feedback and incorporate it. At the same time, we are balancing the needs of users with very different needs across the ICANN organization. And so part of the job of my team is sort of to know where the needs are and to balance what's coming in and to be able to lower barriers to participation for the largest group of people. And so I just want to remind you that that's the purpose. And we're trying to make information more accessible. We're trying to make it self-paced, which can particularly help with individuals who want to, you know, all be on a level playing field before they arrive in person. And we're also trying to create create a resource that you can use that's scalable. So there's only a certain amount of in-person sessions that we can have, and we are spread all over the world, which can be not terribly convenient. So ICANN Learn is not to take the place of your capacity development work. ICANN Learn is to enhance your capacity development work. And my team and I are here to help you determine what are the other ways that you can use it. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and I'm really keen to work with you. So if you have any questions, I am happy to take them.
You have a lot of questions.
Oh, boy, have you got
a lot. So I will start by asking you some of those questions related to our webinars,
okay.
Our live webinars, very important. So shall we be able to start in the next webinar on the ICANN Learn directly?
Okay, so the problem with this is that they've only got one audio channel. And so the problem that I'm trying to solve is to find a way to bridge the Adobe Connect tool with the ICANN Learn platform so we can do it the way we've been doing it, where you can hear in whichever your preferred language is. That's a problem that's not solved yet, but I'm trying to see if we can build a bridge.
I don't think it is a problem, since the Adobe Connect provide only one channel, audio channel. So we are using the bridge, the phone bridge, to provide other languages. So it is not a problem. So if I understand well, we can start next webinar on the ICANN Learn platform.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Wonderful. I have a list. I will begin by Ali.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Betsy. This is Ali Al-Mishal for the record. Actually, it is an amazing enhancement and revamp for the previous ICANN Learn, honestly speaking. My question is about, you know, we are in a process of to run a mentorship program again. So I was just thinking, how would I capitalize on such platform for the mentorship program and have a great communication between the mentee and the mentors and design a specific, let's say, course or a curriculum for a specific group and have that communication within the application with the mentors. So would that be doable?
Okay, we will take all the questions and then she will answer. Yeah. Next one is Olivier.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. So you've mentioned some of the some of our webinars having been already put on the ICANN Learn platform. Were they put on the ICANN Learn platform in all of the different languages? Do we have the version for each one of the language separately? I have several questions, so take them. So that's the first question. The second question is, did I understand correctly that we can submit, if we want to submit courses and so on, we can submit them in the UN six languages, and you would be performing the translation of these into the other, well, the five other languages from the UN list of six languages. And the third one is a bug report with regards to the front page. When you change the language and so on for checking in, you know, for signing up, in some languages it actually still keeps middle name, email, and ICANN group in English, whilst in others it doesn't. And the little question mark, which is supposed to help you out with saying the password must contain at least one letter, one number, and at least 8 characters in length, is also not translated in some of the languages. And it might be good to also be precise whether the letter should be a Latin letter or not, because I can certainly imagine that if you enter your details in Vietnamese, the letter would not be the same type of letter, or in Arabic or Hebrew or whatever. Thank you.
Olivier, leave some questions to the others. You asked all questions. Okay, next one is Sarah.
Sarah Kiden for the record. Betsy, this is really cool. Like, so cool. It's much better than the previous one, and I like that you have many languages. It looks definitely much better. We love that. So I have a few questions. In terms of robustness, how many users can the system handle, just in case many people in the community decide to take courses? And then in terms of offline content, I don't know if I missed the point, but I didn't hear you saying anything about offline content. internet is not available where some of us come from. And finally, what happened to my courses? Because I had taken courses on the previous I Can Learn, and now I don't have them anymore.
Thank you, Sarah. Daniel.
Daniel, for the record, I'm really impressed with the work that has been done. Actually, it's so much, I don't know what I can say, but yeah, it's top-notch for the moment. Based on the previous I Can Learn, I see at least a number of patches have been done previously. In case someone would want to enroll for another course, it required a new sign-in and all that kind of thing, and everything isn't the same thing. But when it comes to, we haven't given us feedback for some of us who are traveling. Is there an improvisation whereby we can sync the course such that I can be able to access the course on my mobile as I'm moving, I'm studying, yeah? Because sometimes those flights are really long and boring, so it could be used. It can help us to utilize time, yes. And then, are you also considering taking it to other smaller applications, like maybe apps like Android, iOS? Yeah, I think also it can contribute. And then syncing with the content online, I think that helps a lot. But I'm really, really, really impressed. And the design is really good. Thank you.
Thank you. Hedyam.
Hadja Minyai, for the record. So, Betsy, I would like to applaud you for this. This is really cool, as Sarah mentioned. You said that this actually platform is not to replace our capacity building, but rather to enhance it. And I would actually mention what Ali mentioned as well. I'm leading a center called the Domain Name System Entrepreneurship Center, and it's a partnership between ICANN and the National Telecom Regulatory Authority of Egypt in order to foster... In order to foster the domain name industry in Africa and the Middle East. So we've been doing a lot of capacity building workshops like DNS operations and DNSSEC, marketing workshops, business-related workshops, legal workshops. And I was wondering if we can use this platform to provide some of our workshops. So my question is, how can we provide our workshops through your platform and print our certificates as well? And the other one is related to the content. Usually, what we are using now is actually content provided by ICANN, especially with regard to the technical workshops. Also, the business workshops, the instructors were mainly provided by ICANN, but it's not really ICANN material. So it's regarding also the content. How can we work together to develop content on different matters, not only technical, but maybe policy, legal, marketing, business, SWOT analysis?
Okay, thank you, Hadia. Please make your intervention very short. We don't have time.
So that's why I tried to be quick.
She must have time. No, make it short. You don't have to develop. You only ask your question, please.
Yes, okay.
Next one, Satish.
Thank you very much, Rijani. First of all, thanks for this excellent work. In Asia-Pacific, this is Satish Prabhu for the record. In Asia-Pacific, we have this growing movement of schools of internet governance, SIGs. We have about 9 national schools and 2 regional schools active right now. And one of the problems that they face is quality control in terms of teaching. So we would like to know 2 things. One is if we can use the custom bundle approach that you have prescribed as a prerequisite to students who join these schools. And secondly, we sometimes have a rare grouping of experts who come and take classes, and we record the whole thing. Can this go online as a part of your resources that are there online? Thank you.
Thank you, Satish. Next, Maureen.
Maureen, for the record, thank you, Betsy. Fantastic. In the registration section, I mean, I guess it's sort of... can an addition be made... because you ask for their ICANN group and affiliation. Is there some way that we can actually, when we're actually asking new people to join, is there something that they can actually access to get an overview about ICANN? You know, an introduction to ICANN. So they don't probably, I don't know if they register if they are not an ICANN person. The second one was what you've just given us. Do newbies to the ICANN Learn system, do they get this explanation about how to use this platform effectively so they get full value of everything that's on there? Thank you.
Thank you. We have a hard stop. So next one is Alfredo, the last one. Very short, please.
Yes, this is Alfredo for the record. my question is regarding that if, following up with what Ali said, if I, as a student, are taking a course, is there a way that I can figure out if someone else has logged into the same course and we can, you know, have some sort of, I'm here, so we can chat, we can, you know, talk within the course as we go along? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Since we don't have time, I have a list of questions. I will not ask them. I will give the floor to Betsy, and they will send her my questions by email.
Do you think you're going to take? I'm just going to check with Dick for another 10 minutes.
Are we supposed to be done now?
Okay, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Ali, can you email within the platform for mentorship purposes? Yes, you can, in a limited sort of way. So we also have to protect people's identities. So it depends on how you've developed the program and what permissions we have. But yes, the functionality is there. Olivier, thank you very much for the feedback on the form. That's something that I will take back immediately to get resolved. You had asked about all language. Can we translate? Okay, so that's a question of resources. So it's the same thing about comms, that we have to evaluate what are the materials, who's the target audience, do we have the investment to put into it? It's the same thing here. We're using the same language services team. One element to consider, though, is that how you design a course changes if you're thinking about translating it. So we'll be doing both. We'll be designing courses in a particular language that will be translated, in which case we like to do images that don't have words when we can. But also we will be having content like with Aziz's fabulous internet governance course. It is in French. It is meant to be in French. It's not going to be translated into other languages. So we would like to have something similar in Russian and Arabic and this sort of thing. But again, that comes back to resources. So you asked if courses were available in all languages. Yes, but this is not yet up to date with the webinars. So when you do your webinars and you have the audio in Spanish and French, then we have the video. It takes an extra step to edit those two things together, and we're just a little behind in that process. Right. So special characters. Yes, we can use special characters, but I'm not sure the extent of the languages and the special characters that we can use. So I know we can use the UN ones. You can do Arabic and you can do Russian and you can do Chinese, but I need to find out and I will follow up with you on that. Sarah, how many users? We have more than 5,000 and we can have as many as we can pay for. So right now that's not a concern that we have because being a bit more economical with the platform was one of the objectives of this new learning platform. So never fear, we can afford it. We can bring new people. Let's see, transcript updated. I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, the courses didn't come over. Okay, so the reason why your transcript is not reflecting the courses you took on the old platform is because in many cases those courses were retired, and in other cases those courses were updated and the content is different now. The one place where that's different is with the registrar training course, and those are being batched in over time. If it really upsets you that you're not being given credit for a course that you did, we can go back and validate that you did it, you know, and work that out. But in this event, the registrar training course is the only one that it's very important for certification that we have those records be updated. Okay, so Daniel, can we sync the courses while we travel? Guess what? An app is coming, so that is on the way. Okay, sorry, I'm going too fast. Take a breath. had yet. Partnerships, yes. And this is something you and I had started to discuss. I do have some partnerships in the works. There are a couple of key points to consider when we're talking about developing content. It must be fact-based, and it must be tied to ICANN's mission. So as we started to talk before, one of the things that gets tricky is about the marketing and the commerce. So it's something that we are working on, definitely, particularly in the LAC region. That's something that we're going to try to roll out as a pilot. And that's something I would like to be in communication with you about if this is curriculum that you want to develop. We have to be sensitive to allow everyone an opportunity to participate, and we need to be sure that we present information in such a way that a learner doesn't get the impression that your group or that ICANN is encouraging them to use a particular vendor for a particular service. So most of that is common sense, but we're going to have some very specific processes built in around that to make the platform as robust as possible in terms of quality of content, but also to not waste your time. So there are opportunities for partnerships and sharing capacity development information on the platform, but it needs to be ICANN related. Okay, so the first step is to check with me, and I'll tell you what's in the works because there may be some overlap, like with the CCTLDs and some of the marketing stuff. Satish, with the Schools of Internet Governance, can we use this as a prerequisite? Yes, we did that for the APIGA one, and we've actually done that with Europol as well. So in some cases, it can be used for travel funding. In other cases, it can be used as a prerequisite to get everyone on the same page. We can also set up courses as a prerequisite. So if you end up developing a series of at-large courses, you can have a 101 at-large course, a 102. You know, we can set it up where you have to take one course to get into the next. Sorry, thank you. Okay, Maureen, an overview about ICANN. Yes, we have a brilliant revised introduction to ICANN course, and it's the first thing you see when you log in as a new user. It's the first thing in the course catalog. We could also include that with an enrollment key that is specific to at large, which I would encourage us to do. Alfredo, can you collaborate in terms of peer support? Okay, there are two sides of this issue. One is privacy, and the other is convenience and chat. So the discussion area can happen live, and that can be anonymous, or you put your name on it. You can put a little avatar. You can put your ICANN wiki cartoon, whatever you want. So that, yes, can happen simultaneously. But in terms of connecting so you can see who else is enrolled in a course, no. That is something that we have switched off for the purposes of privacy. Okay.
I hear her, yes, yes, yes. So she's done. Everything is there. Everyone is happy.
She's all things to all people. Yeah. There's more.
Betsy, everyone thanked you. Is there a space that I can add other thanks? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really, I worked with her since now 1 year and a half, I think,
yeah.
About this. And every time we think that we are almost ready, but there is always an evolution, now it seems that we are really ready. So I will thank you more when we start our first webinar live on the platform.
Okay.
And this will be a few weeks, in a few weeks, isn't it, Gisela? Okay. So, again, thank you. Thank you for this work. Thank you for your cooperation. And I will send you my questions by email. And please answer them. thank you all for your participation. We are already behind the time. This webinar is now... yes?
One more thing.
Okay.
I have one more announcement. If you would please join me in giving Tijani a round of a hand. I have a little prize for him for all of his work with capacity building for at large.
Thank you very much. And this working group meeting is now adjourned.